That was an awfully long gospel reading, wasn't it? You're probably thinking about lunch or whatever. Oh, my. And thank you, too, for everything. It does mark my 1 year here. It was April 1st, 2013 that I started, and that, of course, is tomorrow. And here we are. And I don't really expect, you know, anything special except for that cake in the back. That's very nice. It's also Lent, as you know, and we're in the fourth Sunday of Lent. We're a little more than halfway through. You've probably taken up some kind of Lenten discipline, which is starting to get old, if you haven't dropped it already. So I just want to give you a couple of thoughts about continuing on to Easter. You know, you might recall on Ash Wednesday, the point that we were making is, when it comes to Easter morning, what kind of Christian do you want to be? And that's the underlying purpose of the Lenten discipline. So, you know, if you're fasting, you're giving up some food or something regularly, and that's getting to be too much, or maybe you've already cheated, you know who you are. You can go about it this way. You can tell God, this food that I'm giving up, I want you to know this, God. I am hungrier for you than anything else. And that's why I'm doing it. Help me. That will take you another step further. Or, you know, if you're not fasting in that manner, but there's still something about it, you feel there's still a little more in Lent I could be doing, another suggestion that I have for you is this. What's the best thing that you could give? So, you know, something that's really valuable to you. Can you give that? Have you been saving up for something? What if it was that? Or, you know, you're just out of time. You're overscheduled. You have nothing left. Nowhere to squeeze it in. What if you gave a part of a day or a whole day just to Jesus? Something like that. You know, whatever. Something that's valuable. Something that's really valuable. And you give it to Him just to give it to Him. Now, there's a couple of thoughts that may get you to Easter, into the place that God has called you to be by that time. You may have some other thoughts too that God's given you. Just follow them. Just follow after Him above all other things. And it'll be great. It'll be just great. Well, I want to continue a little bit today for the next few minutes with the ideas around our giftings that we've been looking at. And you remember I'm switching gears now here. Is that okay? The purpose, remember, of a church, of a local church, is to be a sign, an instrument, and a foretaste of the kingdom of God, of the place, the surrounding, the time, the day, when there'll be no more sickness, no more hunger, no more death, nothing that we struggle with now, that will all be gone because of the kingdom of God. And the local church is a sign of that. And the way that we begin being that sign and that foretaste and that instrument of the kingdom of God is by, one of the ways is by fully embracing the way Jesus created us. And we've seen that He created us with some motivations. And we've looked at a few of those motivations. One of them is, if you're apostolic, you like doing new things, you kind of awaken people's dreams. You know, if you're really involved in the leadership of the church, you're making the church a discipleship culture. We have also looked at prophets, and prophets are the one who look underneath things. You know, like when the wind blows and uncovers things, prophets can see what's going on there and begin bringing that out. And we've seen evangelists like to gather people together, you know, the whole neighborhood or wherever you are, and part of what evangelists do is tell stories that break barriers. Instead of putting up barriers, the barriers are broken by what evangelists will do. Now, what I'm going to look at, and that's a brief review again, of course. What I want to look at today is pastor. There's a gifting of pastor. And it is very different than what the normal, typical kind of thought about pastoring is. In fact, half of you, I would be confident in saying, have a gift of pastor. There's a pastoring motivation that Jesus has put within you. Part of the reason that I say that is most of our church structures are pastoral structures. So they would attract pastoral types, people with pastoral gifting. And the other gifts that we looked at previously, you know, apostolic gifts, prophetic gifts, evangelistic gifts, there's not as many structures in most local churches for that. So you don't get as much of that in that situation. But you get a lot in pastor, with the pastoral gift. And I want to pull out today how Jesus operated in this pastoral gift. And for some of you, maybe the majority of you, who actually have that gift that Jesus created you with, you will see what he's begun to share with you. And one of the main things that I want to do during this time, Lent running up to Easter, is begin to have you see that the church is the place where you begin to hear someone calling your name. And maybe there's never been an organization or a group or a circle that you've been in where people have actually called your name, known who you are, really wanted you to see to become all of who you are, all that you were created to be, would have done anything to get you there. And that's part of what the church is about, is for you to be in the place to hear God call you by name and bring you forward and build you up. And that the pastoring gift is a tremendous part of that. So, you know, if you'll give me just a little bit of leeway, a little bit of latitude, which you have for the past year, for which I'm very grateful, let me describe what I think is the typical view of the pastoral gifting in the church today. And that would be a local church comes up with a mission statement. Our mission is to whatever it is, fill in the blank. And then comes up with some strategies for filling that mission. And if there's a little bit of time left over in the meeting, they may come up with a few tactics for each strategy. This is how we'll do it. But they don't. Usually most churches don't want to go there too much because the idea is we will call a pastor who will be able to fulfill this mission, come up with programs that will fulfill this mission, and be able to really encourage and motivate people to get into those programs, no matter what else they're doing, so that the mission can be fulfilled. Does that sound like a typical kind of way that people look? Yeah. How about this side of the room? Okay, all right, good. What I want to suggest to you. No, I just want to tell you straight out. I'm not making any suggestions. What I want to say is that that picture is not the picture of a pastor that Jesus had in mind when the church began. There was a completely different picture, if you will. There may be some overlap, but it's a very different kind of thing. And that's why I say about half of you or more have a pastoral gifting. And the pastoral gifting has to do with you drawing people out, with you upholding people so that they can become who God has created them to be. It is, you have an ability to have people connect with God and each other in a deep relationship. You would have an ability to have people really connect with the grace that God has already given them. And you do not have to go to seminary to have that ability, be ordained, read theological books. None of that is part of what Jesus created you to do. You have that ability. When that ability, that gifting, starts weaving in with the other giftings, what happens is that the church becomes the sign of God's love for you, as well as the entire community. Okay, everybody all right? Okay. Excellent. Good, excellent. Now, I know that this is a change in some people's thinking. What has happened with many of us is that we get to the place where we think what the pastor needs to do is to be able to carry the banner, if you will, the mission statement of the church, and find the best ways to take care of that mission and get people in. Just sign them up for the programs that take care of that. And what happens in response to that is that many church members, and perhaps some of you this morning, begin to feel that your worth to the church is to fulfill that mission. And if you can't, if there's no place for you to fit in the planned programs, then you don't fit. We don't want anything like that. And what I think is even, well, sadder than that, you never hear anyone call your name. The name that Jesus calls you, that echoes through your heart and soul, that when you hear it, you know that you're loved, recognized, important, significant. You belong. You're in the family. You begin to know that someone is lifting you up to be everything you were created to be. When that's happening among us, the church is a sign and a foretaste and an instrument of the kingdom of God. And you know that God will never leave you and never forsake you, no matter what happens. You know that that's there. When the pastoral function of the church is operating in relationship with all the other functions, that's what you experience. Now, that's what we see with Jesus going on here. And there are some things that Jesus did that if you saw somebody else doing them, you would think, well, that person's definitely not a Christian. Unbelievable. To what am I referring? Here's an adult man who has been blind his entire life. And Jesus doesn't go and ask him, how can I help you? How are you? How's it with at home? Must have been tough. Do you remember what he did? He spit on the ground, made mud with that. He didn't go to a pool or a stream and get water. He spit on the ground, made mud, scooped it up, wiped it over his eyes. Would you want that man for your pastor? And then said, let me tell you what he did not say. He did not say, here, let me help you get to the pool of Siloam. He did not say that. He said, now, you go to the pool of Siloam and wash the mud off. Here he is walking through the town, mud all over his face, needing people to guide him to where the pool is till he gets there. You're thinking, what kind of Bible college did this man go to? Yet it's Jesus who gives the gift of pastor to people when they are created. And to some of you, he's given that. Then what we see going on is one-on-one, Jesus is drawing that person more deeply all the time into the grace that God has already given him. This man born blind, now he sees, and as he goes along, he sees more and more who Jesus is. And this man's in a lot of trouble. There's a lot of trouble right away with the authorities because it's a Sabbath and Jesus, here he is working on the Sabbath. You can't do that kind of stuff. And who are you to do that and accept it and all this? All kinds of trouble is going on, but the man still stands up. The grace that is within him is getting stronger and stronger, and he's finally able to come to recognize Jesus as God and worship him. And what's also going on is that the people around him, systemically, there's a pastoral system that Jesus is building. And that pastoral system is everyone is coming to the place where they recognize Jesus as God and are drawn more and more to worship him. You know, they're asking all these theological questions and trying to trick him and trap him, and the apostles and other followers are seeing what he does. And those that Jesus are following Jesus are coming deeper and deeper to him. That's a pastoral system. That's a pastoral gifting. And the goal of the pastoral gifting would be that someone moves from where they are now to more deeply following Jesus every day for the rest of their life. Okay. I feel like I'm communicating this well. So let me go a little deeper, if I may, and go against a sacred cow. Would that be all right? I got a couple of nods. All right. Youth ministry. Okay, good. I feel safe to go ahead. Often a church will want to have a youth ministry, and we're included in that. And I'm not saying that we do this, but some people will say, well, for youth ministry, what you ought to do, especially if you're the pastor, the leader, or in the Episcopal Church, the priest, what you ought to be doing is doing some crazy stuff so that kids will like it and want to be there. Well, what that creates is consumers. Consumers of religious goods and services. So, what would you do instead? Well, how about some crazy stuff so that whoever walks in the door starts following Jesus with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength for the rest of their lives? Learns what it is to die to self daily and follow him. Learns what it is to listen to the voice of God call you by name and follow after that. Learns what it is when you've grown up and you have a family of your own to come into a fellowship and show your kids, did you see that? That was the voice of God calling you, which is a little different than, did you see that? Didn't you love that band? Just throwing a few thoughts out here about pastoring. The pastor will be the one who wants to make sure you're okay, wants to make sure you're in a good place, and wants to make sure you take the next step in the grace God has given you so that Jesus is your Lord and Savior for the rest of your life. So that the decisions you make are the decisions of what it is to follow Jesus. how you spend your money, how you spend your time, other things that may be coming into your own mind right now about following Jesus. It's following, always following after him. One of the things I have mentioned to you over the entire year that I've been here is it is always all about Jesus, all the time, without any exception, always. It's always him. Everything comes back to him. He's in the middle of all of it. And we are the sign and the foretaste and the instrument of that. One of the things that I often find driving me, and I don't think I particularly have a deep pastoral gifting, but you know, I've had to do this for a few years now, so I understand what you got to do about pastoring. And one of the things that has stuck with me about that, it's this. When I see somebody just kind of trying this, trying that, feeling lost, what do I do now? The first thought that comes to my mind, no one has called this person by name. Maybe no one even knows their name. And I don't mean the name on the birth certificate. I mean the name that God wrote on their heart that is the fulfillment of everything their life is meant to be. And then what I usually do is come up with some kind of apostolic scheme. Now what kind of new thing can we do to get this person in so that they can hear their name? If we never have another program, we never schedule an extra meeting, nothing else ever happens except you know who you are in Christ and you've heard Jesus call you by name. This church, St. Francis Episcopal Church, is an eternal success. And you know what? I think over half of you have that gifting from Jesus. To be in the place where through you, other people hear him call them by name. There's some great days ahead. There's some wonderful days ahead as we start moving in that. You might be, how do you know that this is my gifting? Well, you might be thinking, haven't seen so-and-so for a little while. Wonder how they are. Or you might be thinking, you know, I wish the other leaders of this church would be thinking a little bit more about the quality of our fellowship together. Things like that. What's driving that is this. It's not so that people will be happy or their problems will be solved. It's so that among us, they can all, everyone, connect with the grace of God that's already within them. That's what drives us. Now, I want to challenge you a little bit because I think God is speaking to you about this. I think this has been a part of the history of St. Francis for the years that we've been functioning. I think the next step, the next season that Jesus has for us is for a lot of people to start hearing God call them by the name that resonates deep within them and bring them to that place of grace and fulfillment. My question and challenge to you is, what's God saying to you about that? And what's God asking you to do with what he's saying?